Welcome back to Nate Timm's Lay of the Land, and I'm joined by my guest, Jerry Apps, and we're talking about Thanksgiving in the 1950s. We started talking about the menu for that day. I'm just going to add in a couple of items from my family experience. Of course, the goose in our case was stuffed, and my mother, I think, had somewhat of a unique stuffing. It was, of course, with breadcrumbs and the fat drippings from the roasting of the turkey, but also it had apples, cut up apples, and raisins. And that was kind of unique. I always thought to have kind of a sweet flavored stuffing. That's the last time I think I ever experienced that. And then, of course, there would be squash fresh from the garden, like you mentioned, Jerry. This was all part of the self-sustaining lifestyle that we had during that era. We pretty much could have put on that Thanksgiving meal never having gone to the store, because 90% of the elements of that meal came directly off the farm. They would buy sugar and flour, and the butter would come from the creamery delivered by the milkman in the morning. But the rest of the items pretty much were all, with the exception probably of coffee, were from the farm. So, Jerry, would you like to continue with the menu?
Yeah, what you said was pretty much the same on our farm, because I can't remember that my mother ever bought a vegetable at the store. Nor I don't remember here ever buying any meat at a store, which is kind of interesting. And I failed to mention that we too had squash. That I should have mentioned that, because that was a part of our Thanksgiving meal. And we had several different kinds of squash too. And I still very much like squash. So the fact of the menu meant that my mother had to spend, oh my gosh, probably a week in advance of the Thanksgiving meal. She was making pies and she was preparing for this large group that would gather on Thanksgiving Day, and the crabapple pickles and the cranberry relish and all of that had to be prepared. And she, now mind you, consider this, we had no electricity. And we had no indoor plumbing, and the stove was a wood stove without a thermometer. She knew how to cook and bake on a wood stove, which was in itself a art. It was a work of art, is the best way I could say it. People would say, "Well, what was the science of a wood stove?" Well, there wasn't much science to it. It was mostly art. And as she would bake the duck in the wood stove, and she knew what kind of wood to use to develop whatever kind of heat was necessary for the project. And when we looked at her recipe cards, there was never any mention of temperature for the oven, because the oven didn't have a thermometer, and everything was based on her ability to put her hand. Oh, can you imagine this? She would open the oven door and put her hand inside, and she'd say, "I think it's about right now to do the duck," or "I think it's about right now to bake the pie," or bread, or whatever it is she was baking. So the whole menu had all these little elements in it that revolved around her ability to know how to do all of this with the kinds of appliances that we take for granted today. That old wood stove would do wonders, And today, I can't imagine anybody who would look at it and say, "What am I going to do now?" And these farm women knew how to do that. And along with the idea that everything, almost as you pointed out, almost everything came from the farm. And just as we were preparing for the animals to have something to eat over the winter, we were preparing food for the family to have over the winter. And the Thanksgiving menu, the Thanksgiving meal, was that first magnificent display of what we had done through the summer. And now, folks, come and enjoy with us, thankfully, what we had been able to accomplish, both for the family in the way of raising our own food and for the farm animals that we needed to take care of through the long winter.
Exactly. The other thing that I want to highlight a little bit is the serving site for the meal. We had a dining room table, but that dining room table was condensed down to a much smaller table most of the year. Only on special occasions like Thanksgiving would that table be expanded, which means that leaves, inserts that could be added to the table were brought up from a closet or somewhere where they'd been stored and put into the table, and the table was expanded so that it could serve this larger audience of people, and chairs would be gathered up from around the house that never were in the dining room except for this special occasion. The finest silverware would be brought out that probably was only served, maybe used during Christmas and Thanksgiving. The finest glassware. My mother had been given a gift of special china, a whole set of china, as a wedding present from her family. And it was like a setting for, I think it was 16 people. And that setting was used for Thanksgiving and for Christmas, and that was it. And I'm privileged to still have that set of china. And just the other day, I was hearing a conversation on the public radio about how fine dining is a thing of the past. No longer are there big private dinner parties like there were years ago, where people used all of this fine china and glassware, etc. What about you, Jerry?
Well, you know, we had my mother had a set of dishes just as you described, except ours. What I remember is that they had wild roses around them, and of course, our nearest town was Wild Rose. And so they were very special. I think they were for 12. Or not. You had a bigger set than we had. But they came out, indeed, they came out at Thanksgiving time. They came out at Christmas time. And most of the rest of the time, if not all the rest of the time, they were hidden away and saved for these special days. And it was really fun to see the matching set of cups, saucers, dessert plates, the dinner plates, the whole array. And my mother was so pleased to be able to put that spread out there. And the tablecloth went on that table, which we too expanded from a couple of leaves to half a dozen leaves. And the only time that we did that is, you correctly pointed out, but we'd add a couple of things. During thrashing time, when the thrashing crew was there, that table would be expanded. And the same thing with flour filling, and the same thing with corn shredding. And less so with wood sawing, But the dining room table was a very special part of the Thanksgiving meal. The other thing I would add, usually by Thanksgiving time, we had closed, my dad had closed off most of the house because we only had two wood stoves. One in the kitchen, which was a cook stove, and a round oak heater in the dining room. The parlor, we'd call it the living room today, was completely closed off, as was the back bedroom closed off. We weren't able to heat those rooms. So that dining room and the kitchen, those two rooms were the very special meals, special rooms, starting in the fall and generally in late October and going on until March. When spring rolled around again, we lived in those two rooms. But the Thanksgiving meal was one of the first meals in that enclosed now or closed-off part of the house.
I want to add one other element to our meal, and that is the dessert element. And my mother, respect for our German heritage also, as you referred to your German heritage with the sauerkraut, my mother served a special dessert. Actually, there were two things that she served for dessert. One of was the sort of traditional pie, but the other was a special dessert item. I've never seen it anywhere else, and it was called Himmelsfutter, which means, I believe, heavenly food, some version of that. And what it was is it started with a bar-type item that was baked on a sheet, and then she would break that into pieces and put that down on a platter, and then on top of that would go a whole assortment of fresh fruit, oranges, apples, whatever fresh fruit she could get, which was pretty limited. And then over it all would go usually whipped cream. And, of course, on the farm, you had plenty of access to fresh cream, and it was easily available. And so that would be this special German dessert that would be served sort of like almost like a fruit salad. It was just kind of an unusual combination. Himmelsfutter. Jerry?
That sounds very special. And I failed to mention that the pumpkin pie had a big dollop of whipped cream on it as well. that was just part of the serving of the pumpkin pie. The other thing, My mother always cut a pie into five pieces, not six. My dad said, "I don't want one of those skinny little pieces that you ordinarily see, so it's got to be cut into five." I've never forgotten that. Those are five pieces. Cutting into five makes a pretty healthy-sized piece, but he said, if you're going to have...
Your dad had it right.
What are you going to have? You better have one.
Yeah, that was great. Well, we're going to take a break here again. I hope our listeners are enjoying this nostalgia of the Thanksgiving meal of the 1950s. We're going to take a break here for a few minutes. We'll be back with Nate Timm's Lay of the Land in a couple of minutes. Thanks for listening.